Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The text for our meditations today is Jesus' new commandment. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word to us today and meditate on it, we pray that you would pour into our hearts your love through the Holy Spirit you have given us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So, what's new about the new commandment? Let me read to you from the Old Testament, Leviticus 19:18. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. So, what's new about the new command to love? This is a good question to guide our meditations on Jesus' teaching today. And where we come to is that the newness is all to do with the person who gives the commandment, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one through whom all things are made new, as we heard in our Revelation reading today. Jesus has loved us. Jesus does love you, and so he transforms our love for each other. The heart of the newness is in the one who gives the new commandment. But as we meditate on this and flesh this out, let's consider four features of this new command to love, and I've given them four S's today to remember them. First, that love is given a new shape. Second, that love happens in a new space. Third, that love becomes a new sign. And fourth and finally, that love arises from a new source. So first, love is given a new shape here. What do I mean by this? Love is given a new shape by Jesus in this commandment in the sense of taking on a particular focus, being characterized in a particular way. There's many things we could say about the love of Jesus Christ. We could point to his compassion, to his provision, to his healing of those in need, to his humility and his service, and they are all true of the love of Christ. But the particular shape, the particular characteristic he points us to here is that of sacrifice. He says, just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. And so how does Jesus love us in this context? Well, he's given this teaching, isn't he, on the night before he died. Judas has just left the room and so has set off the chain of events that will lead to Jesus' death. So Jesus talks about loving as he loved in the context of his sacrificial death. He strengthens this a bit later when he says, no one has greater love than this to lay down one's life for one's friends. And this becomes like an echo right through the New Testament, love and sacrifice. To give just one example, St. Paul says in Ephesians 5, live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So that the love Jesus calls for is characterized by sacrifice, total and utter self-giving love. It's worth just pausing for a moment and considering how radical that is. I think of my time in other communities, perhaps in football clubs. And actually, in a place like a football club, there can be strong elements of love, camaraderie, and this sort of thing. But think about this. It comes to finals time, and there is one spot left on the A-grade team and two players competing for it. Can you ever imagine one player saying to the other, I will give up my spot on the team for you? It is virtually inconceivable. Perhaps somebody's got a story from somewhere, but it would almost never happen. And not only that, it would be looked upon as weakness, in fact. This sort of love, this self-sacrificial love, is something quite radical. And this is what the Christian community is to cultivate: the sacrifice of our time, the sacrifice of our money, the sacrifice of our own desires and pleasures for the other. It's worth remembering too that tomorrow is Anzac Day, isn't it? And the immense appeal in our culture that Anzac Day has, and increasingly so among young people, it's worth asking why that is. Surely a part of it is that this is one place we see this reality of self-sacrificial love, and people are drawn to it. So this is the first thing Jesus does, is gives love this particular shape, that of sacrificial love. The next point is that Jesus, in this new command, shows us that love happens in a new space. Jesus says here, love one another. So what does that mean? Who's the one another? Where and with whom does Jesus want this new commandment of love to happen? The simple answer here is that he seems to be referring to the Christian community, to love specifically within the church. Only his disciples are in the room at this point, and he says, love one another. And there's parallel passages in the New Testament, like in Galatians 6, when Paul says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, this can strike some people as a bit confusing, can't it? Because we know that Jesus teaches to love one's neighbour, as the Old Testament does, and that seems fairly general. And we know that Jesus even calls us to love our enemies, that very radical love. And indeed, we are called to do this. So then it can feel to some people like we're almost going backwards here, retreating into a holy huddle or something like that. What's going on? It's worth asking. Why this particular emphasis on love within the Christian community? Well, isn't it true that it can often be hardest for Christians to love other Christians? Think of the sad history of conflict and division within Christian congregations. Think of the various debates we've had in our own LCA in recent times and how quickly lack of love for one another shows up. Think of the way we can act towards other Christian denominations and traditions. Maybe Jesus is onto something a bit more profound than we at first realize when he points to the Christian community as the space for this love. It's worth noting, too, that this new commandment of Jesus is framed by two spectacular failings in the first Christian community. So before this comes Judas going off to betray Jesus. Directly after this, Jesus predicts Peter's denial. So perhaps that, too, can help us understand why Jesus focuses on love within the Christian community here. Let's just tease this out a little bit more. I think we find a parallel to this sort of thing within the human family, don't we? Most people would say that their family are the people they love most in the world, but isn't there another sense in which they're also the hardest people to love? Because we're stuck with them. We live in closer proximity to them. We know their flaws and they know ours, and we can't hide things from them as much, and we expect more of them, and so on. The same thing can happen in the church. Reminds me too of a line from a Dostoevsky novel where one of the characters says, I love mankind, but I'm amazed at myself. The more I love mankind in general, the less I love people in particular. And so Jesus gives us a particular space for this new command to love in the Christian community. Then Jesus goes on, though, to give another reason for this focus, and this is our next point, that love becomes a new sign. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. How interesting and mysterious and even perhaps seemingly paradoxical that if we want to reach out to the world with the love of Christ, the first step is for that love to be lived within the Christian church. Jesus says people will notice this. Love will be a sign to the world. Not that we're to show it off, but it will happen. One commentator puts it very nicely when he says, where this love exists, it is bound to show itself. And although it is never ostentatious, those around us will see and thus know or realize its presence. It is bound to affect them, to draw them, if possible, into the circle of this love. And we can see this in Christian history. The early church father, Tertullian, reported that one of the things outsiders said about the early Christian church was, see how they love each other. Another Roman leader said about the early Christians in one of his letters, they love each other almost before they even meet. Love is a sign to the world. Now, sadly, we know this too in the negative sense, don't we? That as failings in love show up in the Christian church, the world notices that too. By this, all will know you are my disciples. Now, presumably this is always true, but can I suggest that there's possibly even more relevance here for us in 21st century Australia? Because one of the things we see in our culture today is that people, and especially young people, are searching for and craving community. And perhaps we can say communities where they experience love. So many of our traditional communal structures have broken down, and so this can be a special emphasis of the Christian church, to have this community of mutual love. Love is a sign. So love's given a new shape. Love happens in a new space. Love becomes a new sign. But finally, and most importantly, love arises from a new source. All of this teaching we've covered so far from Jesus is wonderful stuff. There's only one problem with it. It's really, really, really hard. I don't know about you, but I don't find living a life of sacrificial love in the Christian community as a sign to the world particularly easy. In fact, let's be more honest. When I examine my own heart, I don't find a whole lot of this sacrificial love at all, not in my flesh at least. It's interesting how central the issue of love is in some of our prayers of confession. We have not loved you with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbour as ourselves. But the good news is that in Jesus we find not only a new shape for our love, but a new source for our love. Not only a new pattern for love, but a new power for love. Because Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross is not only our example, it is his love acted out for us. Jesus points to this when he says, just as I have loved you. In other words, not just that's the example to follow, but as I go to the cross, I'm actually enabling and empowering you to love. This is what makes it possible for you to begin to live like this and to be a community like this. Love one another from my love, from the resources of my love for you. Because as Jesus gives his life for you on the cross, he frees you from that life turned in on yourself. He rescues you from that path of lovelessness. He continues to love you so that you can love one another. He is the vine. You are the branches. Later on in the New Testament, we read it put like this. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. So we ought to lay down our lives for one another. And as we think about how we continue to receive this love of Christ, it's worth looking at an important connection here. That the same night Jesus gives us this new commandment is also the night he institutes a new meal, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood." There really does seem to be a connection between the new command to love and the new covenant meal of love. It's through this sacrament that all the benefits of what Jesus did on the cross are given to you so that you continually receive the love of Christ every time you come to this meal. And he gives it not to you individually, but to you as a community, so that our mutual love in the Christian congregation, in the Christian church, flows from the love of Christ given to us. And he sends you his Holy Spirit. And we remember that the first fruit of the Spirit is love. St. Paul says in Romans 5, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And if this is true, it means that love is something you can pray for with great confidence, because it's been promised to you when love seems to be lacking. Are you struggling to love your spouse? Are you struggling to love your family? Struggling to love someone in the Christian congregation? Come to Holy Communion. Receive the love of Christ anew and pray to God that through his Spirit he would work that fruit of love in your heart this day. Jesus is the new source of love. So what's new about the new commandment? It's all about Jesus, through whom all things are made new. So that love is given a new shape, that of sacrifice. Love happens in a new space, the Christian community. Love becomes a new sign to the world. Love arises from a new source, the love of Christ himself. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.